truth that has been given. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and verse 14. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And the portion of truth is suitable for the exercise of self-examination. And the background to this event is the famine that there was in Judah. Naomi and her husband and their two sons, they left Bethlehem and they went to Moab. Certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, because of the famine. And Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons, they married Moabitish maidens. And in the course of time, both Elimelech, Naomi's husband, and Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left a widow, and her daughters-in-law were also left widows, Orpah and Ruth being her daughters-in-law, married to her sons. And then the news came that the famine had passed in Bethlehem, Judah, and Naomi desired to return to her own land. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And they went with her a part of the way. And then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they both said to her, "Surely we will return with thee and to thy people." But Naomi insisted that they should turn again, "My daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, but it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi then advised Ruth to return with Orpah. "Behold, thy sister-in-law has come back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law, And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. But whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God, where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and thee. When she saw that, she was steadfastly minded. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded, he had to go with her. Then she began speaking to her. So that day, this narrative is an event in history, but like all the history of the Old Testament scriptures concerning the children of Israel, it's not merely a history of things that happened long ago, but lying under the immediate text is the spiritual application of it to the church in every age. Some say that there is nothing in the Bible but a common and ordinary book. That we miss the general beauty of the language by looking for a spiritual application. But the Bible is a living book that speaks through the histories of the children of Israel to the Lord's people in every age until the end of time. And in the manner in which we ought to consider Old Testament histories with that application to ourselves. And that is what we have here, that Orpah represents that person who goes some way in the true religion. And he turns back, looks back like Lot's wife. No doubt Lot's wife had a love for her husband. And her daughters who fled from Sodom as the angel led them out. But Orpah's love was in Sodom. Her heart was there and she turned back. That is what we see here with Orpah. She had a love for her mother-in-law and for her sister-in-law. A natural family love. And so it may be that some in the visible church, they have a natural love for the Lord's people. Not a spiritual love, but a love to them simply as persons, with attractive features in their personality, and they may be kind, and there may be things that are lovely in them. Yet it's not their love for them, it's not a love to them because they see Christ in them. And that is what true spiritual love is. Seeing Christ in God's people and loving Christ in them. And those who see a loveliness, a spiritual loveliness in the Lord's people must themselves be amongst those who are born again, amongst those who have spiritual discernment. The natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The person who understands, say, the word of God, and who understands the people of God, and sees their beauty and loveliness in Christ in the Bible, they are that a spiritual life which possesses a spiritual discernment, a spiritual knowledge, to see Christ in the Scriptures and to see Christ in his people. So that this love that they have to the Lord's people is because they have Christ in their own hearts. Christ in me loves Christ in you, as one said. And Christ in you loves Christ in me. And that is the true nature of spiritual love, which has been represented in the brother who opened the question, as it being in the heart of Ruth. True spiritual love into Orpah. The God of Orpah, true spiritual love into Naomi, and into the God of Naomi, which one may gather from her words, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also of aught but death, part thee and me. All these expressions, they also, they are the language of the true believing soul. Treat me not to leave thee, treat me not to leave thee. When one is seeking Christ, when one feels at a distance from the Lord Jesus, on account of a guilt lying in their consciences, they say, treat me not to lead thee to him. They say to his people, return from following after thee, and so on. Ruth, they claim unto her. She claimed unto her for the beauty that she saw in her, the wisdom that she saw in her, the godliness that she saw in her. We believe that it is proper to appropriate to attribute these things to Ruth, but it's certainly not the case that the Lord's people, they cleave to Christ and to his people, to his truth and to his ordinances, because they have spiritual life in them, and they see a spiritual beauty in the Church of Christ, and in the ordinances of Christ's house, and in the truth of Christ's word. The worship, the simple worship of the house of God. Their language is, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return following after thee. But we better leave the marks of grace to the men that will speak to the question, and what we are about today is to, from one's own experience, and to read our own experience in the words of the text, to give marks of a true spiritual life in the terms of the text that has been given out. And if we cannot speak in the language of assurance, in the first person, singular, it is common that speaking to the question to speak of these marks of grace being in others, they cleave to Christ, third person plural, they love Christ, they cleave to Christ, they cleave to the Lord's people. Though they can't cannot affirm that day with any assurance with regard to themselves, yet they can affirm it with regard to others. That it becomes the humble character of the house of God, that we would attribute the graces of the Lord to others, lest we be mistaken with regard to ourselves. And that is another aspect of the exercise of today, that it's for the help of the weak, the help of the weak, for those who are weak in faith, those who are bruised in reeds and smoking flax in their own eyes and in the eyes of others, that are grasshoppers in comparison, in their own eyes in comparison with others. It's for their encouragement. And we would